Again, today I will teach for a short while. Let's see whether I can teach for like 30, 40 minutes. And then we will take two sets of prayer on protection. First of all, well, the way the Lord has led us this far. First, we'll pray for ourselves. He said, when you have been converted, strengthen your brethren. Do you understand what I mean? All right. So, and then we'll pray for our society. What's just most important in my heart is for our city here and the state in which we live in, and then we'll spread a bit around the country after that. And then as our practice and our street grows stronger, we can live well, we can hold on to something bigger, then we'll emphasize much more on things beyond this immediate environment. But because we're just starting, let's take them one by one so that we do not get discouraged. All right, the Lord is good. All right. Now, there was something that we have been saying for some time, talking about this issue of persistence in prayer. And let me just start from there again today. Should we take a scripture? Okay, let's read a portion of the scriptures to be like an introduction. All right, let's start from the book of, the one we have been reading, Luke chapter 18. Then after that, we will go to the book of Isaiah. Let's start from the book of Luke chapter 18. I won't read everything because we have read it severally. Here, he was telling a parable. And the emphasis of the from that parable was that, or let me put it like this, what he wanted to bring out using that parable was that men ought always to pray and not to get discouraged, all right? And we said that the reason why people may get discouraged is because there will be a reason for discouragement. Are you getting what I'm saying? Like I always say, temptations are always what? Tempting. That's why they are called temptations. What it means, when you say something is a temptation, please, let me just... An understanding just came to me. Let me explain it. When the Bible calls something a temptation, it means that that is the natural way you will have gone, were it not that you had a restraining power working on your side. Are you getting my point? That restraining power can be a strength of your spirit. It's possible. Or it can be God that's just working a miracle, in quotes, in delivering you. That's what Jesus meant when he said, deliver us from evil. All right? But the natural way you will have followed, were it not for those other forces acting, is what is called what? That's what the temptation is. When something presents itself, the temptation is that this is the natural order. You will have gone into that thing. Is that all right? So we said that temptations are therefore tempting. It's what you will have done naturally if you didn't have instructions to overturn your natural course of action. If you did not have a force working behind you to move you in a different direction. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Now, so I was saying that therefore, When Jesus was saying that men ought always to pray and not to get discouraged or to lose heart, what he was saying in effect is that, look, this is what will come to you naturally. You will lose heart. And what that means simply is that when a man prays, the results don't always come quickly. Do you understand what I mean? That's just what he's saying there. That's the summary of it. Jesus was saying that you guys are going to have to pray. You guys are going to have to tackle the issues of life in prayer. And the results will not always come quickly. Listen to me. If it was going to come quickly, he wouldn't explain to them that they shouldn't get discouraged. You follow what I'm going to explain? This is so crucial, all right? Like I always say, it is with God that people get easily impatient. They are very patient with doctors. They are very patient with lawyers. Ah, they are even more patient with the lawyer. Your case will be in court for a very long time. Everybody is patient. But when it is with God, the answer must be what? Today, today. Jesus will answer me today, today. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is the way, when it is with God, we are very, very impatient. But I'm establishing this is no matter of unbelief. In fact, faith is for you to be able to remain expectant, even though you have not yet seen a manifestation. Because you will see, after telling the story of how the widow kept on coming repeatedly, and Jesus now explained that even if an unrighteous, this was like trying to make a point to people that you shouldn't easily give up. That if you can persuade an unwilling person, how much more will your persistence persuade somebody who was willing ab initio? All right? He said, however, the reason why God's willingness may not manifest as manifestations in our lives is when he comes and he doesn't find faith in our hearts. And I said that the persistence in prayer is therefore a sign of what? Faith. That you are really expecting God to do something. That you don't quickly get discouraged. Is that all right? Now, so it's very important. Let me just say that again, by the way. That's actually the main difference between the person who really is working with God and somebody who thinks God is just another way of getting something. Are you getting what I'm saying? The truth, let me tell you something. Hear this very clearly. Forget all the one that, you know, in modern day Christianity, what we do is to try and excite people. I'm sorry, but that's a matter of fact. I was listening to Pastor Poju the other day. That's the pastor of my church when I was in Lagos. Pastor Poju said that when he was going to start ministry, they told him, somebody called him and advised him, a senior preacher, that all this teaching you do, nobody has time on Sunday. People just want to come on Sunday and feel good. He was told, so, that this one you want to start ministry, so, don't think that anybody will come and be listening to you, all this long, long teaching that you do. That on Sunday, just play good music, excite them, and let them go home. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so we have turned Christianity to that kind of, you know, immediate feel-good thing and get quick results. Quickly drop 1 naira, make 200, drop 900, and 199 out of that, make 10,000, and then in 2 years, you're a multi-millionaire. Listen to me. If God is going to build you up as a wealthy man, it is not likely you make anything big in 15 years. I know not everybody is preaching what I'm preaching. Do you understand? I have to tell you the truth. I have to tell you the truth. If God makes you rich overnight, you will die overnight. Just, are you getting what I'm saying? He doesn't do it. After he's not competing with anybody who can make the richest man in the world. I created the heavens and the earth. I don't need to prove it to anybody. God is more. Look, we'll talk about that on Saturday. Let me not start doing that one now. But let me just make that statement. The Lord is more interested in telling the story of the process he took you through. Are you getting my point? He is more interested in teaching transgressors his ways through your life than just making you feel good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is why Jesus taught disciples, men ought always to pray and not to get discouraged. What I'm trying to explain. Those who walk with God, really, the mark, look, go and see it. People who are really blessed of God, they have a long story to tell. You know, one day a brother came to me, wanted to know how, maybe the trick, let me put it like that, for how he can remember scriptures and know the word of God and all of that. So I was still talking with him, then suddenly, maybe it was the Holy Spirit or something, just reminded me of the bank. Hey, wait, this, you don't get his point. So, that he wants to know the trick you are using. I don't know what I'm saying. So I said, excuse me, come. Is it me you are looking at? Oh, let's start from where I began. This journey that you are looking at started in 1987. The boy looked at me. He was hardly born that time. Oh, you want to be talking scripture without any issue, you know, just flawlessly, like Pastor Banky. I'm not saying God can't do it for you overnight. That's not it. But if it is me, I'm not saying I gave my life to Christ in 87. I didn't say that. I said that's when I began to study the scriptures. That was when I would take a book. 1987, I remember very well. Because I know what led to it. Look, I started reading Christian literature in 1986. But when I sat down, I realized that scripture is life. You get into this thing, you will discover God. It was in 87. And it has not been broken since then till today. It's not, there was no time I backslid for 2 years. I went to go and drink and smoke and chase women. No, it has not happened. I'm not pretending as a strong man. I'm just going to tell you that. So you think I learned one trick somewhere. For those who don't know, 87 till today, how many years? 22 God-blessed years. Now, you are getting what I'm going to explain. Men ought always to what? Pray and not to get discouraged and not to lose heart. That's what Jesus was teaching there, all right? No, that thing is very important. The walk with God is a persistent walk. That's why you have to love God for the sake of loving God. Don't be in a hurry. Are you getting my point? Let nobody tell you that when you do like this, you will get this result. If that's what you have come for, get ready. There's one prophet that won't lie to you. You're about to get discouraged. Hear me and hear me good. They can tell you that when you have prayed and your spirit has connected, breakthrough will come. Hear me. You will pray, your spirit will connect, disconnect like MTN online. You know what I mean? Have you ever tried to use MTN browser? It disconnects like 10 times in 1 hour. And that's the day it's working well. You can connect and disconnect. Connect at the end of the day. When you have finished, you will discover that, like what is his name? Peter. You go to the mountain, see transfiguration, come back, normal life. Nothing has changed. You go shock. If somebody tells you, you just give the offering after a while, you will just become rich. Hear me. You will give your trouser. Walk away naked. The nakedness will not depart for you for 1 year. I hope you are hearing me. So, if you want to be deceived, go ahead and get deceived. At least you won't say I didn't warn you. However, if you want to love God, you can shave your hair for him, praise God. If he gives you a wig back, fine. If he doesn't give you anything, just worship him and keep going. But one thing is this, it will never happen that your life would be a story to tell of why somebody should not follow God. It will never happen. That one will never happen. That the path of the just, the Bible says, is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. It will not happen that you will only go down. It will never happen. What will happen is that every failure in your life will be a stepping stone to something greater. It will never happen that somebody will say, we warned him. No. That's one prayer I prayed long ago. I said, God, I have done, look, that this in this my life, it will never happen that somebody will point and say, leave him. We told him that time. My testimony will be that, man, this guy knew something we did not know. You know, life moves very fast. You know, for the last few weeks, I've been thinking about it, that this year, we mark my 10th year as a married man. See that, my wife? I have married her now for 10 years. It will be exactly 10 years, 11th of December. That's in a few weeks' time. So I could look and say, so, this guy, you mean I don't know you for 10 years? That is, I didn't even, if you ask me, I would have told everybody I met you 4 years ago. Time flies. What I'm trying to say is that don't worry, don't be in a hurry. Are you getting my point? All right, that's what Jesus is emphasizing to us here. This, our gospel of quick results, is not Christianity. It's not. When God does it, fine. We will take it, enjoy it, and bless his name. But we don't count on it. What we can count on is that he never disappoints. What we can count on is that anybody that works with him persistently, all right, will always experience his glory. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why he told this parable to emphasize that principle to us again. Men ought always to pray, all right, and not to lose heart. And I said his manifestation is found when we continue in faith. All right, let's just stop that one so that we don't be tempted to keep on teaching along that line again. There's another scripture I said we should read. That's the book of Isaiah chapter 62. And I said, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet, until her righteousness goes forth like brightness, and her salvation like a torch that is burning. And the nations will see your righteousness, and all kings will see your glory. And you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. You will also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. It will no longer be said to you, forsaken. Nor to your land will it any longer be said desolate. But you will be called, my delight is in her. And your land will be called married. For the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married. As a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. Now, verse 6 is actually where I'm going. Now, this is what God has planned. This is what God has proposed, the things we read from verses 1 to 5. He now said in verse 6, now this promise is about Jerusalem and the inhabitants thereof. He now said in verse 6, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. Say, you who remind the Lord that it is a watchman, take no rest for yourselves until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. He said, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his strong arm, I will never again give your grain as food for your enemies, nor will foreigners drink your new wine, for which you have labored. But those who garner it will eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it will drink in the courts of my sanctuary. Go back to verse 6. Now remember what we read from verses 1 to 5, promises, great things that God is going to do for the land and for the inhabitants thereof. He now said, on your walls, O land, O Jerusalem, so that I might complete these things I have desired and have promised. He said, on your walls I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night they will never keep silent. He now said, he turned to the watchmen and he spoke. He said, don't take any rest for yourselves, you watchmen. Your job is to remind the Lord. Now, it's not as if he forgets. I'll explain the reason why the word remind is used. And you give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise, all right, in the earth. Now, there's a word I want to bring out from here as I explain this thing. When he said, take no rest for yourselves. Now, let's not imagine things that the Bible did not say. The word he used is what? Take no rest. All right. Now, he didn't use the word discourage here. What he said, what? Take no rest. He didn't say, don't get discouraged. There's something I want to bring out from there. Why do you take rest? The reason was simple. You are tired. So when he said, don't take any rest, what he was saying to the people is that along the line, you are going to get tired. What does that tell you? The people are going to be exerting energy. Please, I want to bring out an issue here. Now, there's something there's a particular principle I've preached here and there, but let me just explain it again today. I think that will be from the book of Matthew chapter 5 or 6, thereabouts. Sermon on the Mount. Let's quickly get down there. When Jesus was teaching about prayer, from verse 5, Matthew chapter 6, he said, and when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, in order that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Please notice that word, reward. Everybody repeat that word. Reward. He said they have their reward in full. He didn't say they have their answer in full. What did he say? They have their reward. It's not their answer. There's a world of difference between a reward and an answer. Are you getting my point? Now, so these people are praying. He said, when they pray for so people will see them. He said, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. I like the way King James has the word openly. All right? And I said, when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. For they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. It's interesting. We Christians actually still suppose that. Well, you see, one of the things we've done in Christianity is just take the word of Jesus and pretend like he didn't say it. You know what I mean? We just pretend like he did not say it. But let me not sit on that. He said they suppose they will be heard for their many words. And I said, when you want to pray, he gave the disciples a simple prayer. We used to say it's a pattern. That was not a pattern for them. It was prayers they were supposed to use. They go in prayer, and there's something I want to bring out. I'm not teaching on that particular thing now. The issue was when he talked about reward. Let me explain a principle to you here. Like I said earlier, reward is different from an answer. Reward is what you are given for a labor you have done. When you work, you get a reward. What you get for request is an answer. Therefore, the prayer these people are praying here is not what Jesus was describing is not their answer. He said, you pray openly, you have your reward. And he said that reward is that they want to be seen by men. Yes, men have seen you. But they didn't go and say, dear Lord, let us be seen by men. No. I don't have time to explain it, but what they were praying about, I can tell you. I don't have time to explain it in details. What they were praying about was for the restoration of Jerusalem. Nobody will go there. No Pharisee will go openly and say, God in heaven, you know I need two new houses. My household is expanding. There's nothing. It's when he will come out and shout against the oppression of the Romans, we pray thee, O Lord, restore to thy people their kingdom and establish them in peace and prosperity. That is what he's talking about. No, really, I don't want to explain it in detail, but they were praying for the restoration of Jerusalem. You remember the disciples, after Jesus rose up from the dead, they said, hey, oh boy, we don't retire. Will you at this time? Abba. What I'm trying to say is that it was a paramount thing in the heart of all the Jews that time. And that's what they were praying about. Now, but this one I want you to understand. He said, you have your reward for those who will do this out of real love for Jerusalem. Are you getting my point? And out of a real love for the covenant of God, he said they will get a reward. Now, he wasn't promising them an answer immediately. What he said they will get is what? A reward. The truth is that prayer is labor, this kind of intercessory prayer. Are you getting my point? And that's why he said, don't get tired. Because if a man prays about something again and again and again, he may get discouraged. We talked about that. But here, he's actually exacting energy. In fact, you remember what was said concerning Lot about his stay in Sodom and Gomorrah, that their deeds of wickedness was afflicting that man every day. Do you get what I'm trying to explain here? That is, there's something about praying that gets reward. The kind of reward you get, all right? Let's not even go into the details. But the point is that Jesus said something like this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added. What Jesus is saying here is this: when people pray for, let me summarize it, an intercessory prayer for other people, here was talking the context of praying for the coming of the kingdom of God. When they do that in secret, God rewards them with things they were not even asking for. Are you getting the point I'm making? I'll bring this in down home. It is easy, all right, to take Nigeria as an example. Shall abuse the country thoroughly and go to sleep. Then after a while, pack your load, your bag and bag, and say, after all, Ghana is better, and you go to Accra. All right? Or you go to South Africa. Listen, let me tell you something. This is what makes you a Christian. By faith, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. By faith, we understand that the things that are made were made out of things that were not visible. What does that mean? You know that your life is being determined by invisible things. You know what your future and the future of your children will be. It's not by the material things that you are handling today, but by spiritual connections that you are making. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, when Jesus talked about reward, taking like our context as an example, a man can stay or pray, or rather than just everybody talk and go ahead and go and sleep, and you know, after getting angry, he stays up all night and nobody called for prayer in church. Do you understand my point? There's an issue going on in the country now. I won't discuss details, but something some of you know about, but most of us know about, more like. But the thing is that I was talking to somebody last night, and the thing is coming down home. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, coming down home, that is touching people that you know. And I told him, I said, when you see your boss, tell him we are praying along. And I told him that, look, listen, even before we discuss this thing, I personally decided to make this matter, you know, an issue of prayer at home, in my closet. Now, see, let me tell you something. Let's stop chasing. You know the way a lot of us pray is how Gentiles pray. And that's what Jesus said. What will I get? What will I get? What will I get? What will I get? What is my, okay, God, now today, what's the next thing? My shoe. My shoe, my shoe, my shoe, my shoe, my shoe, my shoe, my shoe. After 1 hour. Ah, praise God. What else? My shirt. My shirt, my shirt, my shirt. After 1 hour. Praise God. Boy, no go marry. Ah, it's true. My wife, my wife, my wife. After, no go have children. Ah, my children, you, by the time you, my. Jesus said, my God, this is the same thing Gentiles seek. But the Christians do the correct thing. They are added to their lives. I'm telling you, one of the correct things that you will do as a Christian. Look, later on, there's another material I'm working on. It's called the true sacrifice. The things that you really offer to God and he accepts. What I'm going to bring out is this, that there are seeds, real spiritual seeds you sow. Are you getting what I'm saying? And one of the most potent spiritual seeds you sow, which brings for you material blessing, though you can't put your hand on where it will come out, is that praying for things that don't concern you directly, but you are concerned about. You understand what I'm trying to say? All right? That is, like, the nation has an issue. The church of God has an issue. Is it to just sit down and talk and talk? We all talk. We're all guilty. I am guilty. I probably talk more than you. All right? So, you understand what I'm saying? You know, why would I talk plenty? I'm reducing it now. Is I used to vex a lot. And my wife used to ask me before that, why do you vex so much? That, okay, then she answered the question herself. You know, usually when it's when it comes to corrupting the word of God, that's the one that used to annoy me. You understand? I was shouting and shouting, and my son walked in, looked at my wife, looked at me. Initially, he thought maybe the two of them are fighting. So he walked into the kitchen. My wife was in the kitchen then. So I walked in and I was railing and shouting, what can I do? I was just talking. So the boy came in, looked at me, really angry and vexed. You know what I'm saying? But he looked at the person I was quarreling with. And she maybe was washing rice or cutting plantain and was not perturbed. Then the guy was confused. Like, okay, who are you quarreling with now? He didn't see anything. I noticed that day. He didn't didn't say anything. Because my wife was just saying, well, and let God will help us. And I was talking. That day what happened was simple. I heard something said that really offended me. All right? There was something somebody said with the word of God. I was so angry. So once I caught my wife, I began to unleash my anger on her. So my son thought I was angry with the woman, not knowing that there was nobody else to express my anger towards. Oh, are you following what I'm going to explain? So that day she said, why don't you respond like everybody else? I said, how would everybody respond? Like, you just relax like in Arabic, that this waiting concern me. Then she answered that, okay, maybe for you, the problem is that this is not just about accuracy of doctrine. This is about life. I mean, from time. Like my wife said something once that when they are saying people are backsliding, that it has never crossed her mind, God, please, I pray for my husband that he will never backslide. He said, backslide to where? Does he have any other place to go? That is the only thing I have known you for. Now, what am I saying? So he said that, okay, maybe that's why I take it very personal. So maybe that's what I mean by maybe I complain more than you do. But complaining is still not good. Are you getting my point? It's not the right thing to do. It's not the perfect way to respond. The perfect way to respond is prayer. Did you hear what I said? The perfect way to respond is prayer. Your prayer may not be... Now, listen. The prayer is heard immediately. Let me emphasize that. The prayer is heard when? Immediately. When is it answered? When is it manifested? You don't know. It is heard and answered on the spot. But your persistence is amongst the things that the angels use as weapon that God releases onto the earth as strength for the angels to break through into the earth with your result. Sometimes, now listen, it's not in every case. Sometimes in your lifetime, the result does not manifest. But your prayer has been measured and added into a collection. You go and read in Revelations. You see the way the prayer of the saints, they are added into a crucible. You know, the incense that's going to be burnt. You follow my point? So in your lifetime, it may not have been manifested as results. I mean, there was one man in Nigeria then, Pi Elton. Those of you who know a bit of church history in Nigeria, you have heard the name Pi Elton. Most of the things he prophesied, he never saw. But he left his country, somewhere either in Europe or from the US. A white man came to Nigeria, lived in Nigeria, and died in Nigeria. Last I knew, his daughter was still living in Nigeria. White man. His name is Pi Elton. And the things he used to describe about the visions of God he saw concerning the nation, most of them he never experienced. And he died, like the Bible said, in faith. Now, this is what I'm trying to make. A man who lives like that, there is a blessing that God pours upon him. Listen, God's blessings are not always material, extra car, extra shoe, extra house. You know, those are small things. Bill Gates can give that to you. You don't have to pray. Are you following what I'm saying? All right? It's not always like that. But God blesses a man. Then beyond that, he blesses his descendants. Why? Because of a prayer he prayed, the result of which he did not see. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That's reward in prayer. I'm praying for... Look, there are people who prayed, they have prayed for Nigeria in critical areas concerning critical issues. And listen, let nobody... I was listening to Miles Murray again today in the car. It's something he has said before. And I heard it again. He said that, you see all the noise that Buddhists are making, Islam is making. He said God doesn't move because he has decreed it before the beginning. All right? That Jesus is Lord. So if you like, build all the mosques on the earth in every corner of Enugu, Jesus will reign in Enugu. There's not that at the end of the day, we will hold home cell meeting inside those mosques. We won't break them down. There's nothing wrong with the dome. It's a building. It's an architectural design. It doesn't mean anything. We like the marble inside. The only difference, we'll put chair and put rug. We don't. Why should we sit on the floor? Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, what I'm saying is that there are people who have prayed serious prayers about and they have gone. They have died in peace and they have gone. Their prayer has been added. Yours is being added. Please, it is important nobody gets discouraged. Don't say the corruption in this nation... Nothing can ever, it can never end. Who lied to you? I've looked at it. One day I discussed with a friend of mine. I said, I have come to the conclusion that the case of Nigeria would be like this. Listen, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, were like them that dream. That is, today in Nigeria, this doesn't happen. You will see corruption everywhere. The following week, you will offer a bribe. Nobody will take. They look at each other like this, like, no, not me. And listen, by the next generation, the culture will have disappeared. The first generation will obey out of fear. The following generation will obey out of a culture. I was going to say, you will say I said so, but it's not necessary. It is so. You don't have to say I said so. It was said before I said it. So why do you have to quote me? Quote me who said it before me. Quote people like Paelty. Are you getting my point? Because what's happening that you are building up, and it's very important. This is what I'm saying is very crucial. In fact, I have a feeling that this is one of the most important reasons why we're having this series of meetings. As we go on, we'll keep on giving explanations on how to handle it. The emphasis that I've been laying for some weeks is this issue of what? Continual prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't ever kill your own prayer with your tongue by saying, hey, NEPA in Nigeria is dead. Listen, they can't die. Now, if NEPA you mean by power generation, NEPA as a company can die. All flesh is grass. They can die. But power generation in Nigeria cannot die. He takes away the first to establish the second. If you remove NEPA, we bring in private EPA. You know, there's national EPA and then there's private. We bring PEPA. Private Electric Power Authority. But that we will not have uninterrupted power in this country is a foregone conclusion that that will not happen. We will have it. Do you understand? So you can, you know, this is why the devil discourages you and God allows you to see whether you will faint. All right? You will finish an all-night prayer and your pastor will lift up the nation in power generation and he will say, God, we decree as a body in the name of Jesus, the whole 1 million people will shout, amen. The power shall be constant in this nation. All of you will go back home. Somebody go verse, cut the cable that night. Remove the cable. Newspaper next day, vandals removed cable all the way from Oka to Enugu. They, you know, I don't know how many of you remember this happened about 7 years ago in this town. 30 days we were without light. When the light came back, it took my microwave and my television. I remember it very well. My TV went poor, microwave twam. 30 days, the whole of eastern Nigeria didn't have power. Just to make you laugh about Nigeria, the first of us cut cable inside the bush. We all lamented. He went back next day, removed the balance. He said, who can do that? I said, forget, we don't want to catch it. We know who. That length of cable, you can't steal it and just vanish into thin air. But it's not possible. Anyway, so things like that happen. When you finish, after praying one whole night, especially when the day before that night you did not eat because they said you should fast. You now wake up, the next 1 month, you don't see nothing. The little light you thought you had, they took it away. Men tend to faint. But I'm here again to tell you that that is the very time when, if you don't know how to pray, start laughing. And your friend will say, why are you laughing? That's Satan speaking through a human being. Why are you laughing? Say, it is funny. That this devil is going away, so he's throwing tantrums. And you laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and just keep laughing and go back to prayer and declare again, in the name of Jesus. Don't change the words so that you don't tell the devil that you think that word didn't work well. Let's use another one. Use the same word. Use the same one so that he will know that you know it worked. You know, some people casting out demons before. In Jesus' name, come out. It did not go. In Jesus' name, evacuate. That one will go. We uproot you in the mighty name. It did not go. Once you change the word, say that I need that. You didn't think I was going to go, so let me just stay here. But like one day, Reverend Ezekiel came to University of Benin that time. I was a young student. I think that was my first year. Yeah, it was my first year on campus. I remember I went to for CU meeting that time. That was 1985, 86. So, during the crusade, Reverend Ezekiel of CPM in Lagos. So, say, casting out demons. I look, I say, hey, so, this guy now wish, you know? You know, that kind of thing. So, I was very sure that time. I've grown over time, you know? So, what I did was that, I looked at a very tall guy, went and climbed a chair behind the fellow,
to be looking over his shoulder. So once the man says, come out, I will duck. Let the demon coming out. Looks for one weak guy around and aims me. So once he says, come out, I will just bend small. Then when he relaxed, I'll look again like, how far? this was many years ago. But I remember one particular girl. He finished praying for the girl, and the girl fell on the floor, was twisting and turning, and some men wanted to go and assist, no, continue praying. Told them, leave her. She's all right. And continue his praying. That's where I'm going. You know, they wanted to come like, he said, wait, I have told the devil to go. He's on his way out. Forget all this one at tantrum. And he continued praying for that, but he didn't turn to look at the girl the second time. Now, when you finish with your madness, you will leave. I'm serious. He spoke the word. In fact, I've read books. This one, I was there when the man was doing that. There are stories I've read in which Ken Hagin's story in which he prayed for somebody and left. The next day, they called him and said, he has gotten worse. And he said, no, he hasn't gotten worse. The devil is leaving. Do you understand? So the guy began to act up and scattering the house, thrashing around. He said, don't worry. The devil is leaving. He spoke that word. There was no reaction, nothing. The fellow was cool. So then you can go. The following day, they called him and said, there's trouble. He said, there's no trouble. The devil is on his way out. Are you getting what I'm going to explain here? That is, we don't change our minds. Listen, this Nigeria, this nation, it don't good. You know, the day I knew the nation good was when they told my mother, look, is it a boy or a girl? And he said, it's a boy. And that was me born. The devil gave up. He said, Nigeria, what party? They don't burn this one. Now, what do we go do? Part of the effects of his frustration. Eh? Any challenges I go through, the guy is throwing tantrums. What he was afraid of is one of the things that's happening this night, that you have bothered to come and settle down here, and together we are learning the word of God. Because this is how we spread the seed or the effect of victory that Jesus got for us on the cross. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So take our nation as an example. We don't change our minds. Nobody will ever hear me say that we are finished in this country. Those days in 1995, I think they're about. I just had my residency in Lewes that time. I still remember. Argument. But now I don't argue like that anymore. Because two things have happened over time. Number one is that I've gained more understanding. In that, when I say understanding now, I now realize that I was speaking out of faith. Because I remember the day I argued with one of my colleagues. He said that it's very annoying. Can you imagine that her salary in a month is just about $70? It became argument again. I said, I don't earn $70. Direct conversion, it was $70. But I refused. I said, I don't earn $70. That for your information, I earn 5,500 naira. And that there's a world of difference between $70 and 5,500. Give $70 to an American. See how long he will survive. Give me 5,500. Can't you see how I'm surviving? It used to be argument, though. I remember one day, one of my colleagues, a Muslim, I remember that he walked and said, we are finished in this country. Argument starts again. We are not finished. How can we be finished? What do you mean we are finished? Argument will begin. Now, I stopped all of those things because I now realize that I was speaking out of faith. They thought I was not normal. Those of you say country had, you don't know what it means the country had. Should have come back to the time I was telling you about. People say things were cheaper at that time. Say things were cheaper at that time. Yes, they were cheaper, but calculate it relatively. Now every young doctor leaves school, starts saving up money to buy a car. That time, only drunk people think such thoughts. That's save. A nice bluebird was like 180,000. They are giving you 6,000 naira a month. Calculate between here and there. Those of us that had the wisdom of God, we decoded revelation from above and ruled out trying to buy a car from our lives. And we prophesied upon car, in your season you shall appear. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in Toyota, Mercedes Benz, Nissan, all of you put together. But you know the interesting part? As God is my witness, everything I have said has been fulfilled to a large extent. And more is being fulfilled. It's reached a point that God forced me to do certain things that is like, I wasn't even bothered. He said, no, banking, this one you must do. Now, car. It's not say, look. I prophesied that. I said, in the time we come. In fact, there was one prayer I used to pray. I said, God, I don't mind trekking. It's a nice thing. It's okay. All the cars. In fact, I had one hobby. When I first got to Lagos, then where I was staying, my cousin's place, was near, what they call it, Association Avenue. There was one bridge there. Is it Obanikoro now? Yeah, I think it was Obanikoro bus stop. In the evening, when I'm coming, I would deliberately walk slowly on the bridge and stand. And not a joke, in one glance then, give me 2 seconds look at a car, I will tell you the name, the brand, the year, I'll give it to you. Just by standing, and my cousin was selling cars, so I'll just go down to Western Avenue and be looking around. I knew everything about the cars. At the end of the day, none of them was my own. What am I going to do? We give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. And I used to rejoice if I see any of my friends bring a car. Ah, this car not your own. I would jump inside, we drive it, run around. Because there was a scripture I read. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I knew I could never be poor in life. It's not possible. I knew it didn't happen. Motor car, if you like, we want to eat it for breakfast. We chew one for breakfast. Use one to brush it at night. I'm telling you, it's too small a thing for God to do. Well, let me get back to the main thing I was saying. Then I used to argue with people that country good. When you greeted me, my answer used to be life is good. I remember a friend of mine was driving me in his car one evening and said, our fathers have ruined this country. They spoiled it for we young people. He was just complaining. I was looking at this guy. He had the house that he was living in. Me, I was petting with a cousin of mine. He was driving me in his car. I only had my shoes. And he was in his house, small apartment, but he had television there, video. He had no nice rug, he had furniture. The only material possession I have was a Phillips pressing iron. I'm not lying to you, apart from my shirts and trousers. We did not include any suit, just shirts and trousers. And the guy was whining and complaining. Because he was a banker, I just finished NYS. And I still remember that night as we were driving around that Anthony Bridge. He was complaining so much, I stuck my head out of his car to get fresh air. As God is my witness, I lifted that head up to the skies and began to say, I remember the words. I said, thank you, Jesus. Life is so beautiful. Father, I give you thanks. You are so good. Thank you, Lord, because I appreciate you. Lord, I thank you. It was dark, so the guy didn't know I wasn't listening to him. We were driving at night. He came to pick me. Let's go for a stroll. You know, let's go and buy something. I was whining and complaining bitterly. But I stuck out my head and I was saying, Father, I thank you. Life is good. Father, I thank you because you are beautiful. That's why I don't argue now. Anything you like, say now. And I know that I'm seeing what you can't see. Are you getting my point? I now realize I'm seeing what you can't see. If you don't have my faith, I can't fight you. Those are the two things I've realized. I'm seeing what you can't see. If you don't have my faith, I can't fight you. So I don't just bother. And no matter how hard I try, if God doesn't open your eyes, you can't see it. Then I thought it was a matter of, look at this. They couldn't see it. And what they were seeing, I also could not see it. Before you can enter into the kingdom, we'll discuss that on Saturday, you have to see. If you don't see, you don't enter. You are getting the point I'm making. Now, let me try and sit on what I'm saying. For my time, I've been checking my time. My time for teaching should have ended by now. So what am I explaining here is that what we are doing there, we are constantly saying something. Now, I read the scripture earlier. That's Isaiah chapter 62. Now, remember something from verses 1 to 5. He described what God wanted to do. At the end of the day, he now said, now, this is what I want to do, but there are watchmen. And what's their job? Remind the Lord. When you use the word remind, it's because apparently it appears like God has forgotten. Reverend Chris Okoti calls that anthropopathism. That is, you use the character of people to describe God, all right? So that's why we use the word, remind, as if he forgets. He actually doesn't forget. There are processes that are in place. You will hear the Bible says that then God remembered Jacob. You say, was he sleeping before? No, what happens is that there was a fullness of time. The fullness of time for the manifestation of God is decided by many things. One of them I'm emphasizing now is the prayer of the saints. It's being measured. It's being measured. It's being measured. Listen, let me just say this to you. Most of the church going we do in Nigeria of today on Sundays don't change the nation. Because there's nothing to, when we finish the service, God has nothing to add to that crucible. Nothing. All he witnesses is the fact that we felt very good and we whined in prayer. We didn't pray. We came to complain. God, you don't sleep, she? All right. We are speaking in tongues, though. And all they are doing is complaining. Waiting. Now only me. Not saying that somebody has punished. Waiting, I do self. And you are, this is prayer. Just whining and complaining. At the end of the service, nothing added. How many were we in the church? 500. How many were we? 1,000. How many were we? We say our church is the biggest. We are 3,000. We keep on saying all kinds of things. At the end of the God looks, he asks the angel, how the measure of revelation, how the spiritual measure towards their deliverance coming up? Said today, Lord, nothing added. And that's what I want to change, so that every day we are adding something. You wake up in the morning, you speak a word. And you don't alter under any pressure, under any circumstance, you don't change the tone of your voice. Even when you are not actively praying. Now, simple things like you see a good thing. Maybe you are watching a movie and they say, look at how Europe is. Why can't our country be like this? These are our leaders. Once they start like that, tell them simply that don't worry, it will happen. That simple don't worry, it will happen is added. Especially when you are saying don't worry, it will happen. Because of your faith, it is added. It has more measure than a whole night's prayer of whining and complaining and cursing the leaders of before. God, kill them, kill their children. And why did they do like this? If I start, you are one of them. Yeah, because God doesn't judge us the acts. Look at the attitude of the heart, you know? These are the things. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm explaining. See, so it's when the thing is full. There suddenly, the Bible says that when the clouds are full, that if you read that Ecclesiastes 11, all right, they pour forth rain upon the air. The rain starts suddenly. But then, that's because we were not looking. Those who were looking, who had the ability to look, will have noticed that the moisture is increasing, the cloud is gathering. So the forecaster can tell you that there will be rain in this part of the country tomorrow because he has looked. But for those of us who didn't look closely, we just see the thing come suddenly. That's what I mean when I say that a country like Nigeria, the story will be when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. And let me tell you something, don't let anything happening discourage you. Rocky and Bishop were in my house yesterday and were discussing these things again. I said, look, when we speak, when people say that this is Southern agenda, Eastern agenda, Northern agenda, I said, I'm talking from a level higher than where men make their agendas. I was listening to Miles Murray again today. He said that many are the plans in the heart of a man, but only the purpose of God will stand. So concerning this nation, only the purpose of God will stand. Listen, northern, southern, eastern, central, south, southern, whatever agenda it is, it can only work for the fullness of the release of God's purpose. The Bible says that if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That when Satan was killing Jesus Christ, he was fulfilling the purpose of God. Now, I'm giving these words to us so that these are the words we use in prayer. When people say something to you, can you see? You see, Vanguard prophesied it. And this is where I say at the end of the day, what they said happened. It is so as to fulfill the purpose of God. Amen. And like I said, even if that was not their purpose at the beginning, once you and I utter such words, God pours those things on his altar. Listen, power is released on the air. Some angels will sniff some incense like this and start killing people. According to Apostle Benga, there are angels that smoke. And I'm adding my own to it today. Some of them smoke incense. And the incense is the prayer that you and I prayed. So God said, yeah, Michael, come, smoke this one. He will have wrapped it for Michael. Michael will collect the thing. Enter Nigeria, all oppressor, you are dead. I mean, if you are an oppressor, you're in trouble. Once you are scattering the country, it starts killing. He said, you smoke? He said, yes. What did you smoke? I smoked the prayer of the saints. You get what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? So please, let's be cooking the Igbo that the angel will use regularly. You get what I'm saying? We have to continue doing it in prayer. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, let me just add this one to you as I leave. I said it, I just want to emphasize it. Listen, God looks at those things and he uses them to bless you. I'm preaching something in this series now, how Christians get results, about this priestly corner of life. We think that, you know, we keep on teaching principles. All right, you sow towards it, towards your business. You prophesy about your business. Those things are good, all right? In fact, the prophecy part of it is even spiritual, all right? But some of these, you be diligent, you do this, you be smart, they are good. But I said these are normal, common laws, all right? But these are, they say, an operation of the law of the spirit of life. There's one message I have, Pastor Paul, you preach. It's very technically, you know, woven message. Difficult to decode if you're not very careful, if you don't pray before you put on the tape, all right? But you know, there's some messages that you want to go and ask the man of God. Preach that message again. I'm sure you can't. Have you seen that? Okay, me, I've seen it before. You want to go and preach, meet the pastor. I dare you to preach that message again. You know it. That what I mean is that you are so sure he's not the one. So tell him, remember, even he won't be able to remember. I suspect one of those messages. He talked about the law. You were talking about, I titled the tape. I used to retitle my messages. So on my own, I called it intercession. All right? Now, he was describing the law of mercy. All right? Now, now there's something he said there. I can't explain it now, but let me just use my own words. The other thing I wanted to say. There are things that you do as you show mercy, okay? You activate blessings for yourself in other areas, and you are not planning for that. What am I saying? The principle of intercession, he was saying, all right? Let me add many things together. The principle of intercession, he said, activates mercy in your life. I'm saying that it's one of the operations of the law of the spirit of life, which is available only in Christ Jesus. It's a common law that if I'm diligent, I will make money. It's a common law that the hand that is diligent, all right, increases. These are common laws. But there are some operations beyond that level in which I consistently pray for the judiciary in my country. All right? And that makes me the wealthiest doctor in the country has ever seen. And nobody ties the two because I'm not even a lawyer. Are you getting my point? That I look at an issue in the country and I consistently, maybe the Church of God, let's say only the country, the Church of God, I consistently pray for something. Maybe every time I see something wrong in the body of Christ, it moves me and I pray. When I see it going on the good side, I give thanks all the time, all right? I'm always saying, oh, Father, I thank you that this is happening. This is our churches. Oh, Father, I thank you God, this is happening on television. And every time I'm releasing spiritual energy towards that positive effect, at the end of the day, God makes me a manufacturer of jute bags. I don't know why I thought about jute bags, but I just am making jute bags. From my jute bag making, I'm personally a very wealthy man, but more importantly, I've employed thousands, both in manufacturing and distribution and advertising and everything. And the thing is booming. Nobody will ever tie it, even me may not remember, to tie it to my prayer for the Church of God. That's what I mean by prayer with reward. All this one that we are doing is seeking after what Gentiles are seeking after. Today, all you are going to pray against is all the enemies that are against you. They will scatter today. After today, they will not come back again. Prayer. And by God, say they have come again. Meanwhile, nobody's chasing them. That's the annoying part itself. You know, if somebody was chasing you, we can understand. You know, there are people that invite the devil to chase them. When the devil leaves you alone, you say, what will I pray about now? So the devil say, you deflash me. After church, the devil comes, boy, you may deflash me for pulpit. May I come? What do you mean? Because when they gave me microphone, all you were saying that Satan came, and my enemies came. So the devil said, like, all of you are witnesses, so I didn't go near his house. Now the guy, they flash. So after you come, jam your car, break your glass, break everything. He's like, what happened? Say, now you they flash, when will they church now? We don't leave you alone, Tay. Since you like our company. You know what I mean? I mean, if we leave you alone, you have nothing to prophesy about, so to testify about. So let's come and gather around. We'll leave you immediately. On Saturday night, we'll come out so that you'll see story to tell on Sunday. After that, we'll come back. You are looking for, believe me, a lot of us, that's what we do. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, if you believe the Lord is good, give me a loud amen there. Amen. All right, like I said, two things we're going to do. This is the first one we'll do. Let's take about the remaining 15, 20 minutes. I'd like us to take two prayers. Number one is for yourself, and then number two is for the nation, our community, our state. Can we just rise to our feet, therefore?
Let me just open a scripture or two. With again. Anyway, two things we are going to do. Number one, like I said, we'll pray. Today, I just feel like let's pray for divine protection. All right? All right, we'll pray, number one, for ourselves. And the way we do the one for ourselves, we have already established that before. It's not by making requests now, but because we have believed what God has said, therefore we will declare what he has said concerning our lives. Let me just quickly start from the book of Psalm 91. I'll use that one. You can open your Bible to Psalm 91 and then to Psalm 23 on the side. I'll lay some emphasis here and there, all right? Don't forget, the principle behind what we are saying is this. Because the Lord has said, therefore we boldly say. Now, that's the principle from Hebrews chapter 13. Because he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, therefore we boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can anyone do to me? Are you following my point? So that's why we pick these things from the scriptures. What is it that God has said about us? They will take those things and use them in prayer. I just like us to start. What I'll do, of course, I'll just lead the prayer. What to do? Just repeat what I'm saying. Repeat them word for word. I'll just start from somewhere. Just say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because the Lord is with me. He said, I'm not afraid of the arrow that flies by day. I want to say, like you believe it and you're. Now, listen, I would like you to close your eyes, or if you want to open your eyes and focus somewhere. But do like you're drinking medicine. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are taking your shot. You are taking something to boost your immunity. Are you getting my point? Like you are drinking in the spirit to strengthen your innermost being. You follow what I'm going to explain there? So let's go over it again. Say, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I fear no evil because the Lord is with me. Say, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. I am not afraid of the arrow that flies by day. I am not afraid of stray bullets. Because my life is not an accident. I was born on purpose. I will live and not die. The angel of the Lord encamps around me and delivers me. As the mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so I am surrounded by the host of heaven. Said, more are they who are on my side than those who are against me. My life is not an accident. My life is hid with Christ in God. The angels of God are watching over me. They will not let me injure my feet. I am protected from all evil. Say specifically, I am protected from car accidents. I will not die in an accident. I will not fall from a bike. I will not injure my head. Because the Lord is protecting me. No arm robber can kill me. Every bullet fired against me returns to the person who fires it. Listen, I'm not talking about those joking witches firing anything against you. I'm talking about physical bullets. Say, my life is precious.
My life is precious.
Say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Therefore, my bone will not be broken.
Say,
I am protected by the Almighty.
I am protected by the Almighty.
I'm not afraid of the terror that flies by day.
I am not afraid of the terror that flies by day.
Say, Jesus is my Lord. His shadow is over me.
His
protection is over me. Say, the Lord is my light and my salvation.
I will not be afraid of anything.
Say, even though I drive through the most dangerous of roads,
I will fear no evil.
Because the Lord is with me.
Even though I run across the road and I forget to look,
no car will knock me down.
Because the Lord is with me.
Say, the house I am living in
will not catch fire and kill me.
Even my children are protected. Let me quickly tell you something before we continue. So when you are praying. See, there's one principle I learned long ago. Even when I'm praying, I use it and the Lord knows what I'm saying. I'll say, alas, it was borrowed. He said, what do I mean? Once, Elisha's men were digging.
They were breaking a wood, cutting wood. And then the axe head fell into the waters. And the son of the prophet shouted, said, "My master, alas, it was borrowed." What was he saying in effect? It is not my own, but it's currently under my care. Therefore, whatever blessing is with me has to be upon it, though it's not my property. Are you getting my point? And the man cut the wood, according to John G. Lake, magnetized the wood with the power of God in his hands and threw it on the water. And the magnetic power in the wood pulled the iron from below, and the iron did swim. What am I saying? So since then, when I learned it, when I want to pray about something, like now, assuming that my car is blessed and protected, all right? But it's not the car, it is me. So if I took your car to drive, I just carry that blessing and place upon your car meanwhile. So when I'm driving, I say, alas, it was borrowed. So that is why those living in your house, alas, they are borrowed. I hope you're getting my point. Therefore, they are protected. Look, anyone who does you a favor is blessed. If a man does you a favor, he's a blessed man. Because what he's doing is that he's tapping into God's blessing, God's anointing. If he does it not knowing, he's still blessed. How much more when he now does it knowing that this is a child of God, let me bless him. I like what somebody said once. He said, one day he was on a plane and the pilot was giving some funny announcements. He just looked and said, "That's Billy Graham sitting down there." He just relaxed, said nothing will happen. I may see now, but that's Billy Graham. Said, "This plane, nothing will happen." One day I gave a testimony in church. What was the testimony? I traveled for a long time. That was many years ago before I came to Fabish. This was during my youth service or house job. So we took a long trip. So that was the testimony I gave after I got back to church. Went from Enugu, from Ado Ekiti to Benin, went to Onitsha, to Owerri, to Umuahia, and then you know, just walk around. When we're going to go on the trip, my friend and I told him that, "Look, I beg, I can't go on this trip. I don't have money right now." He begged me. He said, "Please, I should just please come." Okay, that he will pay the transportation. I said, "Okay, fine." So from where we took off together, he paid it. We got back to where we started from and then dispersed. And on our way back, he said, "Do you know why I wanted you to come?" He said, "You were my insurance for this journey." That was my testimony. When I got back to church, I said, "I went on the trip because the man who funded it said that you were the insurance. So that's why you had to come." That's what I mean when I said the person who does you a favor is a blessed man. There are people that you shouldn't let them pack out of your house if you're a landlord. Say, "You are going. Why now? Why are you going? Okay, let me reduce the rent." When Jacob wanted to leave, Laban said, "Where is he going? Let's negotiate." Okay. All right. How much? He said, "I have divined." You know the meaning of the word divined? It's not perceived. I have divined. During prayers and meditations and, you know, machinations, spiritual, you know, arrangements, somebody said to me, one of the seers said, "The reason why you have prospered these last 20 years is because of that boy." Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why when you say, "Anyone I touch surely must be blessed," that is not a joke. It's not just a song. That's why I tell you that when you get back home after Bible classes, say to your house, "Peace be upon this house." So see yourself like that. You enter a bus, say, these are blessed and lucky people. Are lucky. I'm your boss today. When the storm starts, speak against the storm. Are you getting my point? I mean, I know God can sink the boat and deliver you, but why should he sink the boat? Are you Jonah? I mean, why should he sink the boat? Don't just worry. I mean, Jesus will be on the boat. I say, "Alas, my master, carry not thou that we perishest," and what, you know, I'm adding my own S to it anyway. But the point is that he will rise up, speak a word, and everybody is okay. Nobody died because Paul was on a boat. You are getting what I'm not explaining. That's what I mean when I say the "alas, it was borrowed" principle. So that's what I mean. You declare it also. So let's continue our prayer. So when I travel, my co-passengers are safe. Because I'm a blessed man. See, all the terrors that go around during the day, none of them will come near me because I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Say, "My life is precious in the sight of God. I am a child of God. Therefore, I am protected. Said the devil can't do me anything. Now, without understanding, say this: though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. Listen, they can talk about swine flu, this flu, that flu. Say it again. Do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. They can tell you about something that's causing cancer here. One chemical fell down here. Smoke is causing this. That's their problem. Do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. Say, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. I like this. Said, the Lord has prepared a table before me in the presence of all those who don't like me. And he has anointed my head with oil. You know what that means? It means I am capable. Say that. I am capable. I have ability. I can fulfill the purpose of God for my life. Concerning David, it was said, and listen, that it was after he had fulfilled the purpose of God in his generation that he died. Therefore, declare, say, I will not die, but I will live until I will have fulfilled the purpose of God for my life in my generation. Until I will have blessed the whole earth for them to know that Jesus is Lord. Tap your chest, say, I am a man or I am a woman of God. I am anointed. I am anointed. I am empowered. I am protected. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus died that I might live. My life is hid with Christ in God. My life is hid with Christ in God. My life is hid with Christ in God. Say, my life is precious. My life is not an accident. Therefore, I cannot die by accident. I was born on purpose. My death will be the end of the fulfillment of purpose. Said, with long life will God satisfy me and show me his deliverance and show me his salvation and manifest his prosperity in my life. Say, I am not afraid of kidnappers. Because they can't touch me. And they can't touch the one that is mine. Because I'm guarded by the angels of God. Now declare, say, legions of angels protect me according to the word of God. Destroy everyone who will attack me. Because I am precious in the sight of God. You know, Jesus said something that if I wanted to ask for a legion of angels, are you getting my point? Would not have asked. That's why we are declaring. Say, legions of angels.
Legions of angels.
You are my bodyguards.
You are my bodyguards.
Therefore, I am protected. In the name of Jesus Christ. I am not afraid.
I am not afraid.
I am not afraid. Fear is not my portion. Say, devil, I have overcome.
Jesus overcame for me.
And by faith I have tapped into his victory.
I am an overcomer.
I am an overcomer.
I have overcome sickness.
I have overcome poverty.
I have overcome premature death.
I have overcome road traffic accidents.
I walk in the will of God.
My life is precious before my God.
Just give the Lord and say, Father, I thank you. Just give him thanks in your own words. Use your own language. Say anything you like. Pray in other tongues. Do whatever you want to do.
I would like us to pray this prayer of consecration. It's inside our small manual. Let's just pray that before we pray for our nation and then we're out of here. Say, I consecrate and declare as follows.
I do not sit with deceitful men,
nor will I go with pretenders.
What we are doing is we are dedicating that we will follow the word of God all our lives. Amen.
He said, I hate the assembly of evildoers,
I hate the assembly of evildoers. and I will not sit with the wicked. I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will not sit with evildoers. He said, Lord, I shall lay my life before you at all times, and constantly confess my shortcomings to you. Say, I shall see your power in my life, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all thy wonders. Say it again. Say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my deliverer. My security. Whom shall I fear? Nobody. The Lord is the defense of my life. There is nobody I shall be afraid of. In the name of Jesus Christ. Said, though wars arise against me, wars of poverty, wars of sickness, wars of death, in spite of them, I will always be confident. Because the Lord is on my side. In the name of Jesus Christ. Said, the Lord will constantly conceal me there when troubles come, then in sanctuary. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. See, I will hold my head high above all my enemies who surround me. I will never give up. I will always have hope, knowing that the Lord is on my side. Knowing that the Lord is on my side. I declare of the Lord, He alone is my refuge. He alone is my safety. He is my God. And I trust him at all times. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's just give the Lord thanks once again. Say, Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus. Now, let's just do another thing. Let's declare concerning our nation, concerning our state. You know, the other day they told me that, you know, somebody was kidnapped again. You know, those kind of things. Like I said, we will not lose hope. There were 50 people that would have been kidnapped if we did not pray. You know, I feel sorry for those who just get me angry. You know, by those who get me angry. I was talking with one man the other day, a senior Christian, that he heard they kidnapped a 7-month-old child. So was so vexed, he prayed and killed the people in prayer. What kind of nonsense is this? So next time he heard that some people wanted to kidnap somebody somewhere, and then they shot them and killed them. And in his heart, he knew those were the people. The next time you vex me like that, you will die again. Are you getting what I'm saying? Believe me, God is answering your prayer, and God is answering my prayer. Now let's ask the Lord. Let's just put our hands together. Just put one hand up. Say, Lord, we ask concerning Enugu State. Fill us with security. Protect the inhabitants of this city. Lord, don't let violence progress in this city. Lord, we ask you to end violence in this state. Those who make their money through violence, end them in the name of Jesus Christ. Those who prosper by violence, frustrate them in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, according to your word, O God, return their arrows to their own hearts. Because you have said, when the wicked drew his bow to fire his arrow against the righteous, that the arrow will enter his own heart. Say, let those who set traps fall into their own traps in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, let the armed robber shoot his neighbor in the name of Jesus. When I say neighbor, I don't mean innocent neighbor. I mean his partner in crime. The two people that went out together. You hold this gun, I hold this gun. We will shoot ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I say, let it be their portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the kidnapper kidnap his own son in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know how God will do it. It sounds stupid, but just watch it. You will hear stories. Are you getting my point? Let them end, Father God, if they will not repent of their ways, let them end with destruction and quickly too, in the name of Jesus Christ. No, say it simply.
If you can't repeat the word I said, you hear what I said. I like to give people a chance for repentance. Say, Lord, please, you can draw the gun, but call the guy first. Boy, repent. If he says no, fire. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a very simple way to pray. It's not difficult. He said, God, have mercy. Wait, oh, before the man kills another person. All right? Have mercy if he will stop. If he will not stop, then have mercy on his victim. Do you get my point? Have mercy on me. Have mercy on my friend. Have mercy on the innocent people. You have to prioritize the mercy. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm not a wicked soul, but I just prioritize my mercy. I don't like to kill people. If you raise a gun against my wife or my son, I will shoot you first. Then I will confess my sin of killing you after. I won't even call it sin. I say, Lord, it's called self-defense. You know? I say, Lord, I had to make a choice. He dies or my wife dies. Which one do you think? Who do you think I love more? Why am I pretending? What I'm trying to say is that we prioritize mercy. Mercy is first on the righteous. The Bible makes it clear, God is abounding in mercy towards those that fear him. That's my prayer. I'm not being wicked. That's not the idea. But we have to prioritize mercy. That's all I'm saying. So let's pray our prayer again. Say, Lord, cause them to repent. And for the one... let me just explain that. Use your words. Say, Lord, cause them to repent. And for those who are hardened in heart, expel them from our midst. Whatever you have to do, Lord, do. But grant us security in this state. Grant us security in this city. Now, I want you to pray for your father. Pray for your mother. Each one of you. Pray for your cousins. All your relatives. I've said before, people are protected because of those that they know. You approach the throne of God with mercy. That is, God has mercy upon you. And you take some of that mercy and you give to those who you love. You give to your wife, your children. You know, the Bible even says that if a woman marries an unbelieving husband, that because of her, the children are sanctified. Say, Lord, protect my father where he is. Whether there's police surrounding him or not, protect him. The Bible says that safety is of the Lord. Protect my brother where he is. Protect my cousin where he is. Protect my friend where he is. They said they are kidnapping doctors in this place. Lord, all my friends who practice in that city, I ask for all of them, let me not hear one day that one of them is missing and is in the hands of kidnappers. Rather, destroy those who we kidnap in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, whatever you have to do, grant us peace in this land. Grant us peace in this city. Let's declare concerning Nigeria. Say, peace shall be in this nation, and prosperity within its walls. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Nigeria, experience peace. Experience prosperity. Experience stability. Experience justice. Experience law and order. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, we speak against anarchy. We speak against lawlessness in this nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare that righteousness will prevail. That peace and justice will go together. That fruitfulness will be our portion. In the name of Jesus Christ. That in the name of Jesus Christ, Nigeria shall be known for being a productive nation. Now, I want to declare that the day shall come shortly that our reputation will not be that of being fraudsters. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say this. Say, once again, Nobel Prizes shall be awarded to people of this country. Say, great prizes, international recognition for honesty and truth will be given to Nigerian nationals. International recognition for truth, for productivity, for all good things will be given to Nigerians in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Say, Father, we thank you for making us great as a nation. Say, Father, I thank you for making me great as a person. For pouring the oil of your anointing upon me. For making me reflect the glory of God for the earth to see. For making me
In Jesus' name. All right, the Lord is good. If you have been blessed today, shout a loud amen.